Hello and welcome to Zero Hanger TV. I am your host, Phoenix Trinidad, and I'm joined by AFL reporter Aidan Cellini. I was about to call you Adam, sorry.
And it's
all right. AFL chief editor Mitch Keating. Hello, mate. Another voice.
Hey, mate. Thank you for having me.
Three on the desk today.
A little nice and cozy.
I'm a little sandwich. All right, so we're going to be recapping round one, the latest on Tribunal MRO, and then as always, our weekly segments, MVP rookie rankings, and we've got some hot takes for the mailbag, which I think...
first mailbag of the season.
Yeah, pretty keen to get season into proper. Some of these because they're a bit, they're pretty interesting. So, first things first, round one recap, Aidan, how did you find it? GWS, Suns, Blues and Swans remain undefeated.
Yeah, well, obviously they were the teams that featured in opening round. They were pretty dominant, obviously. The Blues did hold on against the Tigers by 5 points on that traditional Thursday night clash in what was a thriller. Obviously, the Tigers were undermanned with a few key injuries to a few backmen and obviously Dion Prestia as well, but they did manage to hold on, remaining undefeated as one of the four teams that have gone into round two now and into their bye, obviously, as undefeated. But the Giants are following, the Swans the following night, sorry, they faced the Pies against the reigning premiers at the MCG. They unfurled their flag, but unfortunately just couldn't live up to the expectation of their 2023 heights, Collingwood, and went down pretty comprehensively to the hands of the Swans, who look like genuine top four contenders and premiership flag fancies. The Suns continue their form against under coach Damien Hardwick. They were pretty damaging against the Crows at home up in Queensland. Obviously, the conditions were pretty tough for all involved, but they managed to hold on by a measly 6 points in the end, despite a very promising first half. And obviously the Swans as well just continue, the Giants as well just continue their stellar form against North Melbourne, beating them by 50 points. But was there any other takes from round one that you guys saw that was worth mentioning?
Yeah, it's probably the other end of the ladder, isn't it? Like both grand finalists from last year, 0-2, first time ever. Probably a lot to worry Brisbane, maybe more than one than probably the issues at the Pies. It's going to be interesting to see how Collingwood kind of, or what they change up from a personnel standpoint. Sounds like Ash Johnson probably won't get a gig. That opens probably the door for Reece McInnes. But yeah, Craig McRae is pretty, you know, strong in just sticking with the process and just hoping, you know, they can kind of iron out a couple of things. So that's going to be a pretty big game now against St Kilda. They have the bye the week after and then... Oh, no, I think it's Brisbane the week after and Brisbane have the bye this week. So they would really love a win before heading up to the Gabba. But like I said, the Lions midfield was pretty poor without Neil. Not that they gave like McCluggage a good run in the middle either. It was just, you know, Caleb Strong on his day. And that's probably one part of the fallout from Sunday night's game is a lot of obviously pointing it at Brisbane, as was the case with Friday night's loss for Collingwood. But a lot of credit has to go to Fremantle in Sydney as well. Two big wins and big scalps, obviously, with the two grand finalists from last year.
Yeah, like Carlton on Thursday night, Freo did have three injuries throughout that match on Sunday night to wrap up round one against the Lions, but somehow still managed to win, you know, by 4 goals, I think the margin was in the end, which is super impressive under coach Justin Longyear, who's been pretty much under the pump this whole summer. Obviously, just, you know, extended his time at the Dogs for another year, which some believe is, you know, not really a show of faith or confidence in him to be the man for the next coach to take them to the next flag.
Yeah.
But, you know, in saying that, they obviously won the four points and won the game against the Lions, which is obviously getting their season off to a really good start as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting call on Thursday when they decided to re-sign him for 1 year. Takes a bit of the pressure off, but I think even he said it doesn't really change anything for them. You know, he still needs to have a good season. Things can change very quickly, but yeah, perfect start to do what they did without the players they've got in the team and then the players they lost in the second half. I think they'll be very happy with that, but they need to back it up. And they've got North Melbourne this week in Melbourne, which isn't, I don't think it's an easy game. There's no easy games, but North didn't look all too bad either against GWS for large portions of the game, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. So what do you make of the, now that, you know, we had opening round, a couple of teams had already had a game played coming into some fresh teams that had never played, that haven't played yet. It did seem to advantage, like a lot of the teams that won in opening round rolled on into round one. But what did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few teams I probably thought were a bit match hardened. The Suns play a very contested brand. Obviously, you got Matt Rowell, Toot Miller, Noah Anderson, Jared Leach with his experience, and then Sam Flanders and Bailey Humphreys going through there. They're becoming more bigger bodied midfielders. They just seemed they were prepared and they got the jump on Adelaide, which, you know, people have thought that would be, you know, definitely in the race for finals this year, obviously just missing out last year so narrowly. You'd think that they'd be able to make the jump into the eight in 2024. But yeah, the Giants, the Suns, did get the jump on the Crows. And, yeah, obviously the Swans and the Giants as well continue their stellar form. Having played the week before with really good wins against Melbourne and Collingwood, continue their form into round one.
Yeah, I thought, the next few weeks. I thought it was interesting with, yeah, like you said, like you had GWS, Sydney, Gold Coast and Carlton all go back to back. After picking up the first win, they got another one. But when you look at Collingwood and Brisbane, I couldn't quite, didn't look like they had an advantage at all.
Mm-hmm.
For the second week, obviously Sydney had won the week prior, so it was, you know, the number system was going to favour them. So maybe it's just a shorter turnaround from the grand final. Obviously, those two clubs played at the end of last year in September, and then, you know, first week back, you know, the shortest preseason the AFL's had. So maybe that's an impact, and, you know, Brisbane get a bye this week, which I think they'll be pretty keen to roll into after a slow start, and they can just refresh a little bit, and then they'll face the Pies. I think Good Friday Eve.
But then it could go the other way for Carlton because they've got the, you know, so much momentum off those two wins.
No, for sure.
And then going into the bye could arrest a bit of momentum. But
but
then with the D's, it seemed to advantage them because they, you know, made four changes, I think, from that opening round loss to round one. So pretty interesting stuff. Another big talking point from round one is the tribunal and Amara. So the season is well and truly going. So we've had a couple of incidents, Mitch. So how does Sicily challenge our ban?
Yeah, so the Hawks rolling into the tribunal, and Sicily was there last year as well. So this is an interesting one that came up from the game on Saturday. So he's charged for kicking Andrew McGrath. I think he's come out and said he didn't really feel much of it. So that's going to help Sicily's case. But I would have thought with or without those comments, they'd probably be looking at trying to lower the level of impact. So it was graded as medium. If they can get that down to low, then he's off free. If this is probably a bigger if, but if they can get the grading from intentional down to careless, then he gets off as well. So I think he will get off. Whether he should for intentionally trying to kick a player is another thing, but sometimes it comes down to the outcome and just, you know, what the repercussions are for the offended player, I guess. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. And the other one is Mason Redmond. So Essendon haven't decided to challenge that one, and I think a few fans will probably ask why after George Hewitt got away with a suspension, got away from you know, getting a suspension last week. And I think there's big technicalities in both of them, but I think what the AFL kind of responded to last week was that the Hewitt Neal incidents were kind of around the contest and, you know, kind of fending off and pushing each other, where this Redmond one was more off the ball. So they're kind of what separates the two and what makes one kind of intentional and one careless. So that's the big one. And then with the whole, you know, punching an arm, slipping up, that's that interpretation was kind of changed over the summer anyway. So it can still be classified as intentional, even if you go to, you know, strike someone in the arm and it hits up and gets them in the face. So, I think it was a smart idea about Essendon. I think they would have wasted their time at the tribunal. And I know Essendon fans will still be up in arms a bit around the Hewitt one. But yeah, they are in a way different. And not to say that Hewitt might probably should have got a week anyway, but they are different, yeah.
Yeah. Would you make that one, eh?
Yeah, I think exactly what you said, Mitch. You're right with Redmond. If you make contact with, you know, opposition's head, you're looking at least 1 week, obviously, depending how they, you know, they grade the contact and the intention behind it. But yeah, you know, Redmond off the ball, doesn't matter if it's a technicality or not, I still believe, you know, if you do make contact with the head, if it's, you know, not intentional, maybe an accident, maybe a player's arm does slip, or you just misinterpreted or, you know, miscalculated the bump and you make contact, it's plain and simple. I think in my eyes, it could be a bit more black and white. I think with the AFL and their standing with those type of rules, I understand there is a little bit of grey area in terms of trying to deliberate on those.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, yeah.
But, you know, I think it can be a bit more simplified in, you know, how they do deal with these type of incidents, I guess, especially going forward, given the fact that what we know about head knocks and what we're trying to eliminate in the game.
Yep.
Oh, interesting one. So moving over now to the MVP. So Matty Rowell again, perfect game.
Yeah,
perfect game.
Back to back. See
the top.
Yeah, 40 votes from a possible 40. Obviously, there's, you know, Only a few clubs can have played two games at this point, so it's going to be a bit skewed until we get to the end of round six. But yeah, all the leaders, at least the top five at the moment, were obviously players who featured in opening round and in round one. And Matty Rail's taken full advantage. 40 votes and 20 from each game is a perfect start for him. And he's certainly got some competition from teammates in Tuke Miller, Noah Anderson, who I think polled quite strongly as well over the first 2 weeks. So yeah, great start for the Sun, who yeah has been the form player of the competition over the first 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah, and obviously joining Matt Rail up there, according to our leaderboard. Anyways, Isaac Heaney from the Swans has, you know, excelled in that midfield role in the absence of Luke Parker, Callum Mills and recruit Taylor Adams. He's really shown his leadership on field. I was actually at the game between Sydney and Collingwood on Friday night, and his leadership and just his spring, he's really got that step going again through the midfield that you maybe lacked up forward, given the fact he's not running in between the arcs as well in that position. So it's good to see that he's really, you know, performed in the level that we all think he could. He is an All-Australian half forward, but I guess given that flexibility and versatility that he's added to John Longmire's team, I think that's really good going for the Swans going forward. And Tom Green, who's just an out-and-out star for the Giants, week in, week out, averages 30, 35 plus each week. You know, he's a contested ball. He's starting to really hit the scoreboard quite consistently. He does it both on the inside and outside. He is sitting in third at 32 votes in our MVP rankings. And then obviously you got Patrick Cripps from the Carlton, who just continues to do what Patrick Cripps does. Yeah. What we've known him for how many years. Jesse Hogan, fresh off a 6-goal performance against North Melbourne, was really good and has been quite good in the opening 2 weeks. And then Archie Perkins, Caleb Sarong, Patrick Dangerfield, Connor Rosie and Chad Warner all following on 20 votes as well, which, you know, given their form, they're looking like going to be in and around the mark come maybe the pointy end of the year as well.
Yeah, I think those guys outside of Warner that you mentioned at the end, they're all, yeah, they're only first games in the season in round one, so they're all perfect games. Hard to go past Sarong, Danger. Port Adelaide game was a hard one to vote on, but I think Rosie probably just ahead of the likes of Soldo and Butters, and then Archie Perkins, exact type of game that a lot of Essendon fans have are hoping to see this year, and they got it early, which was nice. So hopefully that's a sign of what's to come for the rest of the year.
Yeah. So back on Heaney, do you think he needs to stay in the midfield once Swans get some of those midfielders back?
Yeah, this is tough. And Brad Scott said the same thing about Archie Perkins. You know, you want to keep them in there. You're probably going to have to find a balance. He won't be playing full-time. Not that he has anyway, but God, he gives you a nice bit of flexibility, which is something that John Longmire's side is really thriving off at the moment, because you can roll James Rowbottom forward, Chad Warner forward, Errol Goulden can go outside onto the wing, Justin McInerney can go forward. So you get Parker back, he probably plays more forward than Heaney now. You get Cal Mills back, he can play that architect role in defence. And then Taylor Adams, if he plays at this point, is a bit of a question mark, even when he is fit. Just given the pegging order they've got, he can play half forward like he did at Collingwood. So that's a lot of half forward midfield rotations, but they can probably make it work. It just means that, yeah, someone's probably going to have to miss out. It's probably Adams at this point.
All right, so taking a look at our rookie rankings after round one. So I'm liking the top two, Blake Howes and Caleb Windsor, two Ds, but we did get a good look at some of those top draft selections. You know, our first look at them, so Reed and Dersmer and McKercher. So, yeah, how are we looking here?
Yeah, it was always going to be kind of a weird one to see how our rookie rankings would line up after the kind of opening two rounds, just given we had only 5 play last week and then you had an extra 10 debutants over the weekend. So, you know, we still want to credit some players for, you know, the longer batches or multiple games, and that's probably why Howes and Windsor, who have been really stellar and consistent over both of their performances, go at 1 and 2. But I think, yeah, who we had last week, Seth Campbell, Harvey Thomas, Charlie Dean probably didn't, you know, while all good, and I think Campbell and Thomas contributed well enough, to some of the performances from the top draft picks to start the year were way too strong. So Colby McKercher, I think he had 22 touches, moved the ball so cleanly, playing through midfield and defence, comes in at number 3. Harley Reid had a bright little start, you know, was on limited minutes anyway. But yeah, really strong at the contest, few clearances, plenty of touches. I think he went at 16 for the day. And then Zane Dersmer, a couple goals for North.
He looked great.
Really positive with him and McKercher, those two. So I reckon those three you probably could have put anywhere between 3, 4, and 5. And then by next week, any of them could be on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting first like 6 rounds or so before we move to a top 6. But as mentioned, there's probably a few others that could have made it. Campbell probably could have stayed in. Harvey Thomas maybe. And Darcy Wilson probably unlucky not to break in with the other three for his debut against Geelong. So it's a interesting kind of top five, but very wide open, I think, heading into round two for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Riley Sanders is obviously another name that could be thrown into the mix at some point this year. He was subbed out during the Bulldogs' loss to Melbourne on Sunday, but he looked, you know, at the level. He's obviously ready made for for AFL football. He's got the size, he's got the strength, the speed, the power that will rival some of the game's best midfielders. He obviously needs a little bit more experience under his belt, which obviously will come in time. But yeah, you know, expect his name to be right up there with the likes of Howes, Windsor, McKertrie, Reed, and Dersma going forward.
For sure. Absolutely. That sub was very puzzling to me just because I was at that game on Sunday, and it seemed more about getting Caleb Daniel on the field rather than taking Sanders off, because it was weird that Daniel was
It seemed like a bit sub. Of a panic decision. I know I think Sanders had a turnover or two, and he was if you're wanting to pull a player off, I don't think Bevo was taking off the worst player or the most out of touch player in the game. So it's pretty rash, it seemed, and pretty harsh for a player he deemed earlier in the week to have the best preseason he's ever seen from a first year player at the club. Yeah. So, a bit of a funny one. But I don't think it's something we'll see again.
Yeah.
For at least the next few weeks for the Dogs.
Absolutely. All right. So, lastly, we'll take a look at my favorite segment, our mailbag. So, usually we ask on our socials for some questions or hot takes. This week, it's just three pretty hot takes. So, we'll go through them.
Don't mind hot takes.
Yeah, a lot of hot takes. So, Squizzy Squire says the Pies will go 1-5 through their first six games.
Might have been rounds. I was trying to remember what he actually sent in, but they do have a bye in at round six, so we'll take him for first six rounds. But that'd be tough to see. And with that one win, I think they've got Hawthorn in a few weeks, but the Hawks knocked them off. I think they might have Port after that, and Essendon and Anzac Day. Yeah. If you're including, I think that might be their sixth game. The Brisbane one is the big one that's coming up. I don't see it. But then again, at the same time, the way they're playing, if they play how they have the first 2 weeks and Essendon play how they did on Saturday, I think it'll be a pretty tight contest. But yeah, Port could have the upper hand for sure. Hawthorn, it's a neutral territory at Adelaide Oval for Gather Round. So interesting to see how that one plays out. And like I said, the Hawks knocked them off last year.
Yeah.
1-5, tough reading, but certainly can't rule it out, I guess.
Yeah,
definitely the year after you win a premiership, every opposition team circles your club's name in the calendar, going, we're going to knock these guys off. And clearly, it's been a pretty rough start, but against the Giants and the Swans, you still have a little bit of faith that Collingwood can return to some sort of form, and they do need to quickly, otherwise the season can get away from them pretty quickly. Mm. But as you said, you know, the next month of football up until Anzac Day or their round six bye, it's not against easy opponents. Obviously, you know, Hawthorn might not have finished too up high on the ladder last year, but they're looking like they could be pretty hard to deal with on match day, given their, you know, new look forward line and their midfield is going quite well at the moment as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the Pies do go going forward.
Absolutely. So Hayden Kelly says a Fremantle win over the Lions is a one-off and they won't make the eight.
I don't have them making the eight. One off. I don't know. Like the loss probably did say more about Brisbane than it did say about Fremantle winning.
Is but that one off as in that it's going to be a
I think like
win
as in like yeah we
big
can't
scalp.
I think it's more just like I don't think we can expect them to be knocking off some of the better clubs if Brisbane are one of the better clubs this year, which you expect them to be each week. I don't know. They certainly can have a decent start over the first few rounds. I think they've got the Blues at Gather Round. That's probably then a pretty big test for them. North Melbourne this week, you know, they might look pretty good, but I don't think it's it's a one-off. I'm not sure. They played well and they're without some pretty decent names in that side, so it's certainly a positive win. But no, I think they can still contend for the eight. I don't have them in there though.
Where did you have them?
I also didn't have them in the eight, but I did watch a bit of that game on Sunday. They showed glimpses of their 2022 form that saw them finish fifth and get a home final more defensively than anything. Brisbane quite potent up forward. They've got arguably one of the best forwards in the competition yet. They were, you know, restricted to 70 points in the end, which is quite low for Brisbane, despite their maybe slump in form. But it's good to see that the Dockers are playing a bit more free-flowing football. Obviously, their midfield are quite strong with Sarong, Brayshaw, Fife going back there on a more permanent basis. You know, Jai Miss looks like he's getting some continuity in his football and gaining more and more confidence. And their small forwards, their fleet of foot, are really starting to put some scoreboard pressure on going forward. But I don't see them making the eight, and maybe this is more of a one-off, but definitely a lot of confidence can be taken from that game against the Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, they're not making the eight. But famously, I did say that pretty early on the season last year about Sydney. So last one, Ethan Bald says, Crows round one loss will be the only one for the year. What do you make of that one, Ed?
Well, I hope for Ethan that he does go for the Crows and that they only do win. Lose one more game for his sake, but I don't think that's going to be the case. As we mentioned earlier, unfortunately, they did miss out on finals last year, expecting big things from them this year, but maybe the expectations still might be a little too much early in the season. Matthew Nicks seems to get his players in line pretty quickly, and they need to get their season going again. But I'd have to say they probably might lose one or two more this year. But to be honest, I do have them in the eight. I do have them contending for a premiership maybe next year or two, given the fact they're quite a young list. But yeah, I'm not too sure on the Crows at the moment. Can't get a good read. I mean, I know it's a
funny
one,
game.
But,
yeah. It was a funny game because, you know, such a slow start. They come back, and whether that was just Gold Coast being a bit too confident or maybe more comfortable, I should say, with where things sat, much like they did against Richmond. So there was concerns for both clubs, obviously.
That wraps it up for Zero Hacker TV. This week, thanks Mitch.
Thanks Aiden.
Thank you. And don't forget, you can catch all the latest AFL news at zerohacker.com, the number one AFL independent news source. Thank you.